Please be seated. A good story will help us to make some small sense of the confusions and complications of life. These words are by Madeleine L'Engle, the author of the famous children's novel, A Wrinkle in Time. The creation account in Genesis, the second one that we heard this morning, is a good story. It's arguably one of the most important stories ever written because it helps us make sense of the world around us and helps us to begin to understand the truth behind our own desires. The reading from Genesis chapter 2 describes how the animals got their names. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The story tells us that we have Adam to thank for naming a giraffe, and a dog, a dog. This is the very first act of creativity by a human being in Scripture. God the Creator chose not to name the animals, instead gave humans the authority to name, authority which of course contains the word author in it. This story tells the truth that God made you and me to be creators. It's in our spiritual DNA. Human creativity plays an important role in the ongoing creation and recreation of our world. Now, if you've ever spent any time around small children, which all of you officially have because there are some in this room, you'll notice that they have an unguarded impulse to make things. So with unselfconscious spontaneity, they will gather whatever materials are at hand and assemble them to create representations of how they experience the world. And as children, we all have some sort of uninhibited impulse to create. And then by the time we are at the precipice of being teenagers, most of us get it into our head that whatever we're making is not good enough. And so we stop making things or we slow down making them. Last week, I'll show you this, a little girl handed me this. See, this girl is 3 years old. And when she handed it to me, I thought, isn't this perfect? I thanked her for it. I think there's a dog hair in there. In any case, I didn't say like, oh, this star here is in the wrong place, or I don't understand the scribbles here. The three-year-old made this as a gift back to what she sees around her. When a child hands you a piece of artwork, if this has ever happened to you, you never think, oh, this four-year-old didn't cover up the whole paper. You look at it and you think, wow, you made this? Thank you. Thank you. The artist and theologian Makoto Fujimura points out that in the creation story in Genesis, when Adam named the animals, God didn't say, are you sure you want to name that a giraffe? Because that sounds kind of funny. No, the fact is God saw what Adam did and called it good. And maybe at this point you're thinking to yourself, okay, Mother Alice is up here talking about making art, and that's fine, but I work at SAS, and I'm not a creative type. I'm a spreadsheet person. And that's right. Clearly not everyone is an artist by trade. Thank God we have this congregation of nurses and engineers and electricians. And in all these gifts, the creation story, what Adam did reminds us of the truth that we are all designed to use our gifts to make something. There are two very practical reasons why we as Christians should all be making things. The first reason is that when we make things, we get to know our maker. And God can truly be known when we are engaged in making something. Thinking about God or listening to a sermon about God is not enough to know God. God's impulse to create which is not just a theory or a myth, it is a practical truth. This is why when we regularly engage in the practice of making things, it helps us to unlock the truth of Christianity. The second reason why we should make things as Christians is because when we create, we are participating in God's redemption of the world. On the other hand, when we don't create anything at all, we become just consumers. Now, anyone who has ever had too much pizza or beer or the internet will know that consumption has diminishing returns. And all of us inevitably neglect to make things. And when we do, we instead fill ourselves. We consume conspiracy theories. We consume images of other people's lives that we imagine to be better than our own. A visiting Duke professor and columnist has called our habit of doing this, of online media consumption, a, quote, rapid, dirty river of information coursing through us all day. Excess consumption tends to arise out of a mentality of there not being enough to go around. But God has given us enough, and God wants us to be generative with the materials that we are given. Madeline L'Engle, that author again, she writes that it's in stories that we find, quote, flashes of truth, which makes us free. We find flashes of truth that makes us free. Another story about creation has been given to us. This one has been passed down to us by eyewitnesses. And it goes like this. In a backwater town in the Middle East 2,000 years ago, God the Creator came to us through a human woman as a baby in a stable in order to live among us, to feed us, to heal us, and to love us. The child grew up, but his childlike impulse to create was never corrupted. And so he continued. He created wine out of water. He created bread and fish for 5,000 people. He created health out of illness, hope amid despair, and life out of death. Even though we insist on consuming more than we need, and it is ravishing one another, and it is ravishing our planet, Jesus, the Creator, has nevertheless created a path of heaven for you and for me. We have abundance because we have Christ who is on the other side of the grave. Christ whose extravagant love shatters all of our illusions of scarcity. Christ who said, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And then he took them up into his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. The catalyst to create is alive in this place, St. Paul's. Just look around and see the Sunday school classrooms where people are telling stories and responding with art. See the homes that we built this last summer in Appalachia. Bless those homes. The meals cooked for the homebound, the organs and voices and bells and trombones and blankets knit for newborn babies, and a feast that drew hundreds of people here yesterday, and our amazing youth coordinator, Ben Brizio, filling up the youth wing with 45 kids doing a Friendsgiving feast where I think almost all of us brought mac and cheese, but it was a feast. That is creative. These vestments, this sanctuary that you, the people of St. Paul's, conceived and dreamed of and built with your own generosity, which is soon going to be filled with the chaos of the St. Paul's Christmas pageant. These are just a few examples of how the Holy Spirit is working through each one of you to create. Thank you for letting me be part of your story here. And now for you, do you feel that there's something that you want to make but haven't yet? Why not give it a try? We don't need to succeed, whatever that means, succeed, because God, through the Holy Spirit, through his son Jesus, has already done that for us. All we need to do is let ourselves be part of this ongoing story. May it be so. Amen.